is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, or is it?
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, what's up, everybody? We're done with the position previews here on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Guys, it is August 18th. I've already done three drafts that I'm playing out, getting an early start this year, and last night was my latest draft. Absolute blast. Had a great time. Can't wait to talk about it. I'm in a great mood. I'm going to bring it today. How about you guys?
You've done four drafts that you're playing out.
Four? Good. Oh, the 2QB league.
Way to count.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
Wait, let me just make sure I count them right. So it's the 2QB one, mm-hmm. the IDP one,
right?
The Scott Fish Bowl.
Oh, wait,
you're not in. Oh, sorry. What are the other two?
The flex draft and the Nando draft last night for charity.
I'm going to remind you of this enthusiasm when it's week 10 and you're setting your waivers for all of these leagues that you're in.
It's not a problem.
Never
a problem.
No, it is. In
never
fact, I'm going to have
to. It can be a problem.
I'm going to have to eliminate some leagues. No
just
question.
To let you know, this morning I got a string of 10 text messages from Nando DeFino about your draft last night.
Really? What were they saying?
None of them were related to your picks.
listen, I want to tell you. I want to tell you guys about it.
I'll give you two keywords.
Okay.
Forerunner.
What is it?
Forerunner.
Forerunner?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Forerunner or floor?
Oh no, four as in the car.
Okay.
Oh wow. Okay, I kind of think I know where you're going with that. Heath, how are you today? Because I'm feeling good. Can you match my energy?
Oh, I'm going to be matching your energy, or at the very least, trying to bring you down.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Jamie's already got some ammo to be doing just that. Today on the show, IDP, Individual Defensive Player Review. We did the draft earlier in the week with Chris Harris of HarrisFootball.com, who's also a daily podcaster and a really cool guy I had the pleasure to meet for the Flex Draft last weekend. So he's coming on the show in a little bit to talk about the IDP draft, some individual defensive player strategies. And we'll talk about that. We have a few emails, guys, asking about picking in the back half of the first round and how that should change your strategy. And we had talked about how we kind of want a top three pick. I'm starting to think more and more that I don't want in the middle. I'm thinking right now, guys. I like the ends. I like the first three or the last three, I'd say, is where I'd like to pick.
See, in the first two rounds, but then the whole rest of the draft, it's no fun at all. I would much rather be in the middle.
You think so?
Yes.
Man, it doesn't matter.
I don't care.
There are players everywhere that you can get. There's only that one spot that I don't know if it's a blind spot for me or what, but I've talked about it where it's 45th through about 55th overall. There's just that span where there's no one I feel really like I'm getting amazing value on there.
Oh, Dave, that's exactly why we're talking about this, because that's the end, middle to the end of the fourth round in a 12-team league, and that's why I like being, you know, in those last three picks of the first round, so I have an earlier pick in the fourth round. But there is one player that I want to bring up to you guys in a little bit that I think is great value once you start feeling kind of yucky at the middle to end of round four. So we'll get to that. Also, Dave, Jamie, and Heath have some great content on the website, cbsports.com/fantasy. Jamie, well, I'll tell you about those articles in a little bit. Podcast League, of course, I have an entry I'd like to read as well. But yesterday, I want to say thank you to all the people that came out to Rock and Riley. Subash was out there, one of our oldest listeners, longest listeners. Paul from the Rejects League was wearing a Rejects League t-shirt with my face and Nando's face on it. We had a few others out there, and I got to sit next to and meet one of my new favorite actors, Kelly O'Coin, who's in The Americans, and he's in Billions. He plays Dollar Bill on Billions, which is a great show. And guys, you, Heath and Dave would love this, and Jamie, you've actually drafted with him. Eric Young, the wrestler. Awesome guy that mm-hmm. I got to meet last night.
Yep.
He's cool.
And yeah. he was kind enough to mention that he listens to our podcast all the time, so thank you for that, Eric, and good luck. I believe he's just signed with the WWE.
Yes, he's with NXT.
Yep, he's going to be making his debut, he told me, in a few weeks.
Yeah, he's going to be a good one.
Yeah, and actually Kelly O'Coin also listens to Dollar Bill. He's Dollar Bill. Everybody calls him Dollar Bill. He listens to our podcast too, so it was really cool to meet a lot of people out there.
Yeah, but is he a wrestler?
No, he's an actor in an awesome show.
Of all these people. There were some celebrities there.
And, yeah, I know.
And a professional wrestler there in this draft. Do you know who got the loudest cheers when they were introduced?
No, who got the loudest cheers? What are you smiling about?
This guy.
Adam?
Adam got the loudest ovations.
Wow. That's because there were some people who came there, some of our listeners who live locally, who came there to see, to meet me, you know? That wasn't because I was the most popular one.
Did you sign an autograph?
No, I didn't.
I also was told that they were trying to start a fight between you and Eric Young.
Yeah. Nando was trying to start a rivalry between me and Eric Young. It didn't work. But draft takeaways, guys. As I've done drafts off of CBS.
I also was told that you brought some friend of yours named Heather into the VIP lounge afterward.
Oh, my.
That's not exactly what happened.
Well, maybe that should be discussed for a second here.
Nando is such a liar. What is wrong with him? I mean... No, my friend Heather showed up. She's a college friend of mine. She showed up when I was doing the draft, and yeah, she went into the VIP. Everybody went into the VIP area. It wasn't stupid.
Now, is she a wrestler?
No, but she is a passenger in what was it called?
Forerunner?
I can't say the word.
What did you say, Dave?
Forerunner? Are we going back to that?
It sounds like four.
All right, listen. When I was in college, I was the designated driver, as I like to say, okay? I didn't drink, so a lot of people wanted to go out with me because I would drive everybody, right, and drive them home. So I had a few female friends that I went to high school with that I also went to college with, and I made friends with all of their friends, and I would pile them into my Toyota 4Runner and drive them all to South Beach, and I nicknamed the car Blank Runner. It rhymes with four, refers to... You know, women.
Don't say it. Just leave it there.
Yes, exactly. So that's what it was called. And they all knew it.
You see the look on Damon Heath's face right now.
It was funny. It wasn't offensive. It wasn't mean. It was funny. They laughed about it. Heather was one of them. So
you were part of their sorority.
We might need a Twitter poll for this on the it was funny. It wasn't offensive.
It would have been offensive if they didn't know about it, but they were all in on the joke. We all called it that.
I think you're going to lose
Dave's still trying to figure out.
You're going to lose that Twitter poll badly.
Okay. Can we please talk football here? I'm noticing in non-CBS
leagues. This is the Seinfeld episode where he couldn't think of her name.
Please. Oh, yeah. Dolores. So, I'm noticing that Rob Gronkowski, I'm seeing him go a lot at the 12-13 swing. Yesterday he fell into like the middle of the second round. Are you guys seeing that as well? Gronkowski, not necessarily a surefire first round pick.
Only in analyst drafts. Every single draft that I've done with users, he goes in the first round.
Really?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Why do you think the analysts are not taking Gronk in the first round?
Because I think that they're recognizing that they can wait on tight end a little bit longer. And especially in leagues where catches count, Gronk's value compared to wide receivers and some running backs just isn't as high. A good year for Gronk, a very good year, is 75 catches. Whereas these receivers that are going in the first round, these are 80 to 100 receptions or more.
It's also the fear of Martellus Bennett stealing a couple of red zone touchdowns from him. You know, this is the best number two tight end he's had since Aaron Hernandez has left the team. And the addition of Chris Hogan, Edelman being healthy, Deion Lewis being more of a factor.
If Deion Lewis can get on the field.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm buying that as arguments against Gronk, though. Well, Gronk has some pretty darn good numbers. Oh, when Hernandez was playing, too.
No, well, since Hernandez. So this.
No, he had good numbers the year Hernandez.
Yes, but he's the best number two tight end since Hernandez. I understand that Hernandez was good.
There's always a Scott Chandler stole touchdowns last year.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
But what Dave is saying is I get what he's saying, that why would you be worried about Martellus Bennett stealing, you know, production from Gronk if Gronkowski was amazing when Aaron Hernandez was there, and Hernandez is better than Bennett's going to be. Was better.
Adam,
but it's also four games without Brady. That's definitely part of it.
I wonder if it's because of Gronk kind of pulling up lame in practice a couple days ago.
No, because it happened. You got him in the Scott Fish Bowl in the second round. I got him
that
in the Scott
long
Fish Bowl
before, right,
in the second round. In one of the two flex drafts, he went in the second round. So I think also it is once you get to like around pick 9-10, you may be playing the guessing game of will he slip, and do I maybe get him in the second round.
Now, Heath, I had the all Heath Cummings squad after the first three picks. Now, I had the second pick in the draft. It was PPR, 12 teams, and I took Julio Jones. I got a lot of heat for Nando said I'm the biggest Giants homer he knows. How do I not take Odell Beckham? I said standard Beckham, PPR, Julio. But in the second round, man, I couldn't believe this. Second to last pick of the second round, 23rd overall, Jamal Charles.
You won the league.
Yeah. And then I took in the third round, Demaryius Thomas. So you got to be happy with that, right?
So you took Demaryius Thomas with what, pick 38?
No, so pick 26.
Another wide receiver run.
26.
Pick 26. Okay.
Wow. That's, I don't hate that.
He was what receiver off the board?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I wanted to take Mike Evans or somebody like, or Keenan Allen. Here were the wide receivers that went in the second round. Well, Marshall went with the 12th pick. And then Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, Mike Evans, all gone before my second pick. It was that entire tier that we talked about yesterday on our, on part two of our preview. So I said, screw it. I'm going to go running back here. I'm going to take Jamal Charles.
Right.
And then I was, very happy to get Demaryius Thomas,
after that. So you took Charles over, which was Cooks gone?
No, Cooks was gone. He was gone. It was that entire tier was gone. Then after that, the best receivers, it was either Jamal Charles in PPR or Demaryius, Sammy Watkins, T.Y. Hilton, Edelman, guys like that. And I went with Charles.
What happened after you took Charles before you took Thomas?
A Buffalo Bills fan took Sammy Watkins and LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great start. How did you screw it up?
I don't think I did. And then I got to the point, I took Michael Floyd as my flex. It's a two receiver league with, you know, I'm going to flex as a wide receiver. So I start with Julio, Charles, Demaryius, and Michael Floyd. And then round five, the second pick of round five, 50th pick overall. This is where, all right, late round four, beginning of round five. Dave, don't like the value there. Jamie, you wrote a story about him. This is, to me, a perfect time to take Andrew Luck. I took him over some good running backs. Could have taken Danny Woodhead. Could have taken DeMarco Murray, Deion Lewis. No, I'm going to take Andrew Luck.
Were only two quarterbacks taken at that time?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. I don't like it.
How come?
Yeah, I would have taken, I'm not like on the stump for DeMarco Murray, but I would have taken DeMarco Murray there if I only had one running back and only two quarterbacks were gone.
Hmm. Jamie, what do you think? Because I was just going, let's make a splash. Let's get what I consider close to a guaranteed great player. Everyone else here has risk. Andrew Luck.
Well, it's also, look, you just named four running backs that you could have either taken in round five if you wanted as well, or playing that they're going to be still good running backs coming back to you in the round six through eight range. Also, I look at Luck. To me, he's the clear best number three quarterback in fantasy with the chance to be number one. To me, there are three guys that could be number one. He's the third one. So I don't have a problem with it if that's where you value quarterbacks. It's just a matter of, you know, what you value. So I think that's a great spot for him. And when you start comparing him to Cam and to Rodgers, and even Russell Wilson, you know, who's got a chance to play at a high level this year too, it would not surprise me if he's better than all three of those guys.
Where did Wilson and Breeze go?
Wilson and Breeze?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson went in round six. Luck went in round five, and Drew Brees went, three picks later after Russell Wilson. Now, I'm sure it'll help to know that I was able to get Ryan Matthews in round six and Melvin Gordon in round seven. So, you know, look, some of the picks weren't so great at this point.
But those running backs compare very favorably to the other guys you mentioned.
Yeah, I think so too. And I felt like I could get someone. Also, I don't want to make this just about my draft. I want to try to help everybody out. So what I want to tell you is that we want you to draft on CBS, of course. But if you don't draft on CBS, one thing I noticed on ESPN, we were drafting on ESPN yesterday, I didn't even notice Danny Woodhead was available in round five. He is really low. Maybe they're right. This is not a criticism. Not a criticism. But sometimes you can look, if you love our rankings, if you love our analysts, you can use that to your advantage if you're drafting on other websites. So I think Danny Woodhead is somebody that is a lot lower on ESPN in their draft room than would be in ours in PPR format. So just keep that in mind.
You shouldn't be afraid to say stuff like this. People look at our site that don't play on our site, and they feel the same way if they're strong about other players that we're not. So I think it's a credit to what we do. And I think, you know, Yahoo as well, in that they present a variety of rankings from different people. I don't know. I haven't done a Yahoo draft yet, but I don't know if they do it how we do it, where you can sort by four different sets of, you know, essentially rankings with projections and then our three rankings. So it gives you a different variety of things. I mean, look, I haven't studied our projections fully, but there may be some guys that, you know, Steve would know, who we bring on the show regularly during the season, who does our projections, that he may feel differently than the three of us do, and dramatically, you know, in some cases. So it's not a bad situation to, you know, look at the default rankings on a various website and, you know, take advantage of that if there's a certain person that you value their rankings.
You know, I think I wrote this piece before the fantasy baseball season, Adam, and I think we need to do it again this year. And it's just a little bit later because ADP is still wonky and we haven't gotten enough real drafts that aren't expert drafts that, to factor into ADP. But I mean, Fantasy Pros does a good job of showing us the Yahoo, the ESPN, the CBS ADP. And I think we probably need to look at, if you're drafting on Yahoo, here's the guys that are lasting much later than anywhere else and vice versa.
Heath, I feel like as I've been drafting more and more, I am becoming the like close to zero RB guy. None of us do zero anything, but I've just been waiting and waiting. And that's, I guess I've been reaching, not reaching in my opinion, but taking Andrew Luck, taking a quarterback or maybe a tight end when I don't like a running back because I've been getting wide receiver early. I want to know where you are on that. Do you have a certain round in which you say, I'd like to have two running backs by now?
I guess I'm kind of becoming the got two running backs earlier than anybody but Dave guy. So I find that most of the time I have two running backs by the fourth round, and quite often it happens by the third round, just because there are a lot of wide receivers going in that fourth and fifth and sixth round that I like a lot. And I think they have a great chance to be number two and number three wide receivers. So I don't feel bad starting them if I can have two running backs that I'm very confident in.
I love what's happening on our podcast, by the way, guys. Like, it's pretty clear to me that Jamie and I are sort of seeing the running back wide receiver landscape similarly, at least approaching drafts similarly, and Dave and Heath seem to be approaching drafts similarly. Are you guys feeling that? Picking up on that?
You mean that we're thinking for ourselves?
No, I mean
expressing
that...
our opinions. I think that's what we're paid to do.
No, I'm saying you and Heath seem to be aligned in the way you're approaching drafts, and Jamie and I seem to be aligned.
Well, we may be aligned on strategy. I don't know that we're necessarily aligned on players.
Which is even better.
Yeah, it's even better. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so like I said, we got some emails about picking at certain spots in the draft, and we're going to start doing more and more of this. This email is from Julio in Atlanta. He says, "Hey, Leslie, Ron, and Tom." I think that's Parks and Rec.
Okay. Yeah, I don't watch that show.
Oh, very funny show. I have the 8th pick in a 12-team full-point PPR league. My strategy as of now is to start out with a top 5 range wide receiver, like A.J. Hopkins or Dez, and then in the second take another wide receiver, Robinson, Jordy, or Keenan Allen, over guys like Freeman and Charles. And in the third, just go best player available. Is that what you would do? With the 8th pick in a 12-team PPR league, wide receiver, and would you be confident in guys like Hyde, Woodhead, Hill, Geo, Gordon, and Duke Johnson being your number 2 running back?
Yes.
I don't mind it one bit. PPR is perfect for something like this.
I wouldn't be able to pass on the running back value in the second round, but again, it depends on how your draft goes too. If several running backs have been taken by that second pick and you want to take Jordy, I understand that.
Yeah, I feel like Jamaal Charles is going to be a conundrum for people in the second round, guys, because you're going to be looking at Charles, especially in PPR. He's so good in PPR.
It's all those running backs in the second round, though, because even Le'Veon with the 4-game suspension is going to be on people's minds. Freeman's going to be on people's minds.
Doug Martin's a very controversial pick there as well.
Lacy is going to be in that conversation, too. So you have those players that you're looking at and you're saying, okay, they're second round picks for a reason, or in second round discussion for a reason, but those receivers are so enticing. It's really hard to pass on.
The other thing I'll say is he's got the 8th overall pick and he's planning on taking one of those top 5 wide receivers. If our drafts are any indication, I think I've taken Todd Gurley and PPR at 8th and at 9th overall. It may be that those top 6 wide receivers are gone by your 8th pick, then just take Gurley and take a wide receiver in the second.
That's what I would do too, because I think that there's a drop off in talent at wide receiver when you get to round 3, whenever there's a push in wide receivers getting drafted in the first 2 rounds.
Like late round 3? Cause I feel early round 3 is still good.
I think that by late round 3,
it's when
you're
you hit
looking
Calvin
at,
Benjamin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. It's when you
hit
Calvin.
You'd almost be lucky if Demaryius Thomas is there.
Right. I took Thomas over Benjamin last night.
Right. I would do that
too. I agree completely.
In PPR. And would you guys do that in standard?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And so, by the way, Doug Martin went 36th overall last night.
That's where good. He goes, though, in PPR leagues.
How about this turn? Doug Martin, Thomas Rawls. Right. Oh, no. No, I got that wrong. It was Doug Martin, Kelvin Benjamin was the turn there in round
6. I liked it better when you said Martin, Thomas Rawls.
Well, Rawls went 49th overall. He went pretty late. So
yeah, I still, it's funny. I still look at the flex draft that I did when I got Rawls in the seventh round. I'm just mind boggled.
Yeah.
Do you feel like at this point, Kristen Michael needs to be drafted?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I think I got him in with my last pick or second to last pick before.
What's the harm?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. If he's the guy for Seattle for any stretch, you saw it last year. 7-8 points. I mean, look, it's not bad with your, one of your last picks.
Would you rather handcuff Ryan Matthews with Wendell Smallwood or draft Kristen Michael?
I'd rather take Kristen Michael whether I have Matthews or not.
Yes. Michael for sure.
Right. That's the interesting thing with handcuffs is you have to say, if my starter goes down, is Wendell Smallwood? We don't know anything about Wendell Smallwood. Is he going to be any good? Probably rather take a shot on Kristen Michael, in that situation.
Absolutely.
So you serious fantasy football players out there, please play on CBSSports.com. Our commissioner product is really tremendous. The commissioner leagues are built for serious players, more scoring options, deeper player data than you can get on ESPN and Yahoo. So experience the difference today. Create a commissioner league right now at CBSSports.com/fantasy football. I hear a lot of people say that once they start playing on CBS, they realize that it was the best. I know I'm biased. I hope you all feel that way. Give it a shot. I think you're really going to like it. CBSSports.com/fantasy football. Jamie and I have an event on August 31st in New York City.
Who's going to get more applause, you or me?
Well, I would say you're the favorite, but I will make a push.
You're the local guy, though.
I am the local guy.
See, Adam's going to jump in his car and pick up all of his sorority sisters and drive them to the place, and you're going to lose, Jamie.
Probably.
It's going to happen.
I don't have that car anymore.
I'll have a small contingency there.
Now, that's a pretty good nickname for a car. Like, admit it. I think this was really...
It's bad.
These were really good looking girls too. Like I was very popular.
Did you make it better?
No, it made me pretty. It was a good status for me. Like I'm this freshman driving like 7 beautiful girls to South Beach.
Yeah, well, you're still friends with one. That's a good sign.
I'm friends with 2.
How many of them will be at your wedding?
1.
The one from last night?
No, but don't tell her that.
Wow. Whoa.
Oh, God. So Nando is hosting the thing on Sirius XM and on Fantasy Sports Network. And as Adam he starts Spender's talking about my team, he said, Adam Azer, I introduced him to his fiance and he didn't even put me in his wedding party. Like, of course. Yes, throw that out there. And I said, Nando DeFito, I invited 25 people to my bachelor party and he's the only one who said no. And, we went back and forth. We had a good time. Probably shouldn't have said that since I didn't invite any of Dave, Jamie, or Heath to my bachelor party, but, so August 31st in New York City, we'll give you more details. Saturday night, we're getting started with Eye on Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio. Me and Dave in week one. You're going to hear from all of us at some point in the season. Eye on Fantasy Football, CBS Sports Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern on Saturday nights until midnight Eastern. You can listen on CBSSportsRadio.com or check your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate and we might be on your radio dial and you can call in and ask us questions. And guys, for the podcast league, we've had rap videos, we've had sonnets.
While you're on appearances, we also are doing a live podcast Friday night at Bow Campers in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, I didn't know that was definitely going down.
Yes.
Sweet.
So you are not involved.
No, I'm not.
It will be me, Dave, and Nick Costas.
Yes, Bow Campers in Fort Lauderdale. That is an awesome place. Go watch this live podcast, and we probably will put it in the feed, too.
Right,
so,
and then Heath and I will be out and about in South Florida this weekend, too. Heath's going to be doing an event for WQAM, which is the CBS radio affiliate in South Florida, at Twin Peaks in Davie. You come check out Heath there.
Yeah.
And then I'll
Nobody's going to be checking me out.
I'll be doing something for another radio station at Frankie Sports Bar and Grill at Gulfstream Park on Saturday also.
It's a fun time of year, man.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So fun. All right, what was I going to say? So the podcast league, we've had rap videos, we've had sonnets, original songs, we've had roasts, pictures. We're going to share a lot of this stuff on Twitter at some point. Here's one entry I'd like to share with you from Jordan, from Dave. He's from a suburb of Washington, D.C.
Gosh, I don't know any suburbs of Washington, D.C.
Arlington? No.
I know there's a place called Arlington near Washington, D.C.
All right, Arlington. Jordan from Arlington.
He lives at the Treasury Building. Let's go with that.
Okay. Here's a definition of everyone's new favorite word. Verb used with object. A's. To ruin an idea, story, or anything, either by repeatedly overhyping it or just doing a terrible job of explaining it. And then he gives an example. After talking it up nonstop in the weeks prior, my father completely azed his speech at my wedding as he got too drunk. And Jordan submitted this to Urban Dictionary, and he's hoping that they will put A's in.
That'd be great.
So when you're taking these girls to South Beach, like, who pays for parking? And do you go with them into their, wherever they're going?
Yeah, of course. Clubs. I don't just, not a cab.
you were like Uber before there was an Uber, except just, I don't know what they paid you with.
He called it Goober.
That's what he was. He was a Goober, all right.
That was very good.
So, yes, like, these girls are, like, dancing around in the nightclub, and I just imagine you sitting in the corner kind of, like, nodding your head to the music.
I always had a truly terrible time.
Did you bring your laptop?
Then why did you do this? I mean, I know why.
Thank you. You just answered the question.
I'm guessing that nothing ever worked out.
Did you bring any of your friends with you, or just you were just driving all the girls around?
So two of the girls were two of my very good friends.
The girls were his friends, Jamie. They weren't just using him for a ride. They were his friends.
No, they were. They were my friends from high school. So that's why this all
now,
started.
What would happen if
they would put stickers on your dorm door?
What would happen if the girls went home with the guy? Would you have to drive the guy home too?
I didn't have room for him. it's the car has a nickname for a reason. No, there's no room for guys.
What if they met a guy who didn't
have
a car,
and
the guy decided to drive all the girls home, and you had to, like, take a cab?
with my car? He was driving them home with my car?
Right, because you're being a good friend. You're the giving tree, except with wheels.
No, that was not going to happen.
Shell Dumpstein.
I always had fun for about a half hour, and then I was ready to go.
It sounds like the worst experience.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You didn't bring your laptop and edit a podcast at the bar?
No, I was before I was bringing my laptop to public places. It wasn't quite that bad at that point.
Did you cover your hairy arms?
No, I was always pretty proud of them, but I wasn't quite as hairy entering college as I am now, Dave. You know, driving seven women around to put a little hair on your arms. Now, here's an email from Travis.
Did everybody have a seatbelt, by the way? Because if you're in, like, an SUV...
No, of course they didn't. Some of them were sitting in the trunk.
Well, oh my gosh, how illegal, Adam.
I know, what do you want me to say? They needed a ride. I was a very responsible driver. This is an email from Travis.
Were any of them wrestlers?
No. Dear Jonathan, Fozzie, and Cameron.
Panthers running backs.
Yes. I have the 10th pick in a 12-team standard scoring league. I like A.J. Green, but I also like Lamar Miller. Here's who's off the board. I guess he's doing a slow draft. Julio, Gurley, Antonio Brown. Weird.
Julio first, huh?
Yeah, in standard. Adrian Peterson, Beckham, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant. Who do you take number 10 here, guys?
AJ.
Yeah, I had a really hard time keeping up with all those names, but I just scrolled down to where they're listed.
Let me read them again. It's a good point. Let me read it again. Julio, here are the wide receivers off the board. Brown, Beckham, Julio, Hopkins, and Dez. And here are the running backs off the board. Gurley, Peterson, Johnson, and Elliott. I don't agree with AJ Green here.
I don't either. I think it's Lamar Miller all
the
way.
Me too.
Because you can get a good receiver. It's not going to be AJ Green. I guess there's a chance AJ Green would make it back to you in round two, but I doubt it. You can still get a near elite receiver in round two. The running back that might be left, best case scenario, is Jamal Charles or Eddie Lacy. I think Lamar Miller is better than those guys. And boy, Gronk hasn't been picked yet.
Lamar Miller is more likely to stay healthy. You don't think Lamar Miller is better than Jamal Charles?
Oh, no. I would rather have Lamar Miller than Jamal Charles.
If they both played 16 games this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Lamar Miller, he thinks at least is better.
I was like, when you disagree with something, just disagree with him. Don't just say, okay.
No, I was just clarifying. I don't.
He's like, clarifying. He's making a mental note of, like, it. And I'm sure in like five, Lamar Miller's averaging 3 yards per carry and Jamal Charles is the number one running back in fantasy. I'm going to hear about it.
I think Lamar Miller is very, very good. I just think the only reason you're not taking Jamal Charles in the first three or four picks is because of his injury risk.
And his age.
Adam, did the girls ever pay for their gas?
Definitely not. Definitely
not.
Oh,
my God.
So this, I think, is really fascinating because when you're picking toward the end of the first round, you have to decide really what am I going to get at the beginning of the second round? Obviously, it's a very obvious statement. And if you're in the Lamar Miller camp, you're thinking, I'm reaching the end of a tier at running back. If you're in the A.J. Green camp, you know, Jamie, yeah, we've talked it out. Do you still think AJ, you still going with that pick, A.J. Green?
Yes. I think that there is, look, both these guys, I've seen it because we've done drafts like this. I've, I think both guys have the ability to fall into round two because there are people that are going to take Jamaal Charles over Lamar Miller, which they certainly have the right to. And there are people that are going to look at, you still haven't mentioned Gronk, right? So he's
yeah,
probably going to go.
That was the other thing, yeah.
Gronk is going to go. And I think people look at AJ Green kind of like he's not necessarily that much better than maybe Allen Robinson, which is fair, than Alshon Jeffrey, which is fair. And don't put him in the same spot that I do or value him the same way I do. So you're playing a gambling game and it's just a matter. Like Dave values Lamar Miller better than Jamaal Charles and sounds like significantly, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but I would rather take what I consider to be the sure thing. And to me, AJ Green is the sure thing.
Yeah. Okay. And for you, AJ Green is the end of a tier, right? At wide receiver?
He's the start of a tier. I put the three guys and then him.
Which three? Oh, okay. And he's in his own tier or?
No, I think he's ahead of, he's in the next tier for me, which is him, then Dez, then Hopkins.
Okay. But in this specific scenario, he's actually the last one remaining in the tier, which is
right.
Why you are taking Green here. Why not Gronk, guys, at 10?
You could go that route too.
Sure.
I don't have a problem with that either. Just that wasn't the question that was asked.
Yeah, all of our rankings say to take Gronk there, yeah. I think. You may have AJ Green ahead of him.
Oh, I definitely do.
Do you? Okay.
And I believe I have Miller ahead of him, too.
Okay. One thing we missed on the Gronk thing, too, why people, like, pass on him in the first round like this, is the penalty to not, or to taking Gronk in the first round is you're either going to be behind at running back or wide receiver. And people are much more comfortable being behind at tight end because even though Gronk is Gronk, they feel like, yeah, I'll just get a tight end. It won't really matter.
But Gronk can act like a number one wide receiver from the tight end spot.
Right.
And so all you have to do is just pay attention to the waiver wire or make a trade at some point and you can recover. Or you get lucky on draft day and you recover. And to me, the later you pick Gronk, the better off you are. We've been in so many drafts where Gronk's been taken third, fourth, fifth, sixth overall.
And you draft Will Brinson.
Too soon. When it's seven or later and you've got that second round pick and you can start digging into running backs and wide receivers, then you'll wait on quarterback. I think you can get away with it.
Can I just sum it up? If you're doing multiple drafts and you have the same pick and you know, I'm kind of starting to vary a little bit, maybe, cause I could see a case for Miller there, for Charles, for Green, for Gronk. Mix it up. It doesn't have to be the same thing every time, right?
Oh, sure. We had the question from Scott Sheriff, who's been one of our more loyal and certainly dedicated podcast listeners who ended up with the same draft slot in three different drafts. And we told him the same thing. You know, don't feel you have to take the same guy every time. You may like one team different than the other just because you just took one player differently. But it's funny to hear you say that because you take C.J. Anderson no matter where you pick.
Except in my real drafts, I haven't taken him once. Maybe once. But, guys, I know Dave loves Lamar Miller this year. Dave, I know you love Harry's Razors, and I'm serious here. I'm really satisfied with Harry's Razors. I've been using it for a couple of weeks now. Go to harrys.com, HARRYS.com. We have an offer code for you. Check out the Truman set for just $15. It's an amazing deal for an amazing shave. I'm loving my Harry's Razor. Best shave I've ever gotten. And honestly, even if it weren't the best shave, the price and the convenience are so good. They ship it right to your door, half the price of the leading brands, and the amazing shave practically feels like a bonus, but it is a really great shave that you're getting. Really close, really comfortable. Love the shave cream. And it's just a great deal on harrys.com, HARRYS.com. So Dave, I want to let you talk about it because I know you recently tried Harry's and Heath and Jamie are going to be trying that, also very soon. So, take it away, Mr. Richard.
Well, thank you very much. You had them send me a razor. And as you know, I have a big melon head. So there's a lot of work to be done when I
shaved your head.
Shave. I didn't shave my head, but I did shave my big fat face. And I texted Adam while I was like in the process of shaving to let him know that I was doing it. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you that it was like an amazing experience and one of a kind and every single human in the world has to do this. It was a good shave.
Yeah.
It was a really good shave. And you hit the nail on the head, Adam. These razors come to you and they're cheaper than what you get at the store. So if it's just as good, if not a little bit better than what you get at the store, you might as well do it and save some money at the same time. It's a good deal. You can put Harry's Razors in my top razor tier.
There you go.
What do you think about that?
By itself. So our special offer for you, for fans of the show, go to harrys.com and check out the Truman set. For $15, it becomes $10 with our offer code. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, three of Harry's 5-blade German engineered razors. Type in FFT to get $5 off your first purchase. Harrys.com. Look for the Truman set. Enter the code FFT at checkout to get $5 off and help support our show. So stop compromising. Give Harry's a try. And again, it's HARRYS.com. Man, there was so much stuff I wanted to get to here. The news and notes. Thomas Rawls might be able to play next week. Matt Forte returned to team drills. Jordy Nelson's off pup list.
Oh, he listened.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Let's start with those three. Rawls, Forte, Nelson, making some progress. What do we need to know, guys?
I think the guys coming off the pup list was expected, which is good.
Yep.
Well, I guess Rawls is already off pup list, but look, as long as Jordy and Rawls are ready for week one, and it appears that they're going to be, you can draft them comfortably wherever you see fit, whether it's round two for Jordy or round three or four for Rawls. I think those are good spots for both of them.
The Seahawks play on NFL Network tonight, and you'll be able to see them run against Minnesota, which means Rawls isn't going to play, but Christian Michael is. And the more steam behind Christian Michael and the better he looks in the preseason, the more he'll take away from Rawls. And that's just one of the things that fantasy owners are going to be scared of with him. Now he's got a lot of flaws. He's coming into the season banged up, didn't really participate in training camp. Potentially two guys taking work away from him over the course of the early season.
You're saying ProSize?
ProSize could get in there too and work the third down role, which is what they really wanted him for. That's what they drafted him for.
He's really struggling though. He's still dealing. He had to ice his hammy again after practice.
Okay. So then listen, if he's inactive, then that obviously helps Rawls, but it's still a mix. It's not going to be like it was with Marshawn. And I don't think you should draft Rawls thinking that he's going to be the next Marshawn Lynch.
And also, Steve Smith came off the pup. What I was kind of more interested in was the guy that didn't and still isn't practicing at all, and that's Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I guess we got to start hoping and wishing for him now.
I think we're getting pretty close. Like, if you're drafting this weekend and Deion Lewis still hasn't practiced, I don't think I could draft him where I've got him ranked. I think I've got to move him down.
The weird thing is, though, is that he took part in their minicamp.
Right.
And didn't seem to have any issues. I just think this is the Patriots being the Patriots.
But they're like intentionally not practicing with Deion Lewis just to disguise something?
If it was last year and it's his first year with the team,
right?
I'd be nervous.
Would you rather take Deion Lewis or Forte?
Like who's the Lewis?
Lewis.
I'm leaning more towards Forte now.
With just because he'll be there at the start of the season?
Right.
Well, can I show you, can I talk to you about where Forte went last night in our PPR draft? Because as much as I've just hated on Forte, it's getting to the point where now he's falling so much where maybe I'll take a shot. He went in the fifth round of a PPR draft, and Bilal Powell went in the ninth round of a PPR draft. How do you feel about those values for Forte and Powell, fifth and ninth round respectively?
I'm actually okay with Forte in the fifth round of a PPR draft. I still think it's a little too soon for Powell.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like we've talked and talked and talked about how Powell's the good value and Forte's being drafted too early, and has it changed it?
Well, I just feel like there's other players in round nine that you can get that are going to pay off better than Powell.
More upside.
Right. Like, I mean, for Powell to pay off in round nine is going to be Forte getting hurt.
I mean, look, he still had, 47 catches last year?
Mm-hmm. It was good. And I think he could repeat that. And obviously he could get more if
Forte goes
down.
If he repeats that, then that's round nine value.
How many yards do you have?
He had, I believe, I don't remember off the top
I'll look
of my head,
it up, but
he
but
had,
I don't remember him having a lot of numbers.
I think he played 11 games and he had seven or more fantasy points in seven of them in a standard league.
I'll take a peek.
Okay. Bilal Powell last year had, 313 rushing yards and one touchdown, and he had 388 receiving yards on 47 catches.
So 700 total yards, three touchdowns, 47 catches, like you said, in 11 games.
11 games, yeah.
And he scored seven or more in seven of them.
That's not bad. That's
absolutely.
Yeah. And Ivory was really good. I just don't buy Forte, but fifth round in a PPR league, it gets to the point where.
Yeah. But Dave, you said you, I don't remember how long ago it was, but you didn't think he was going to get 30 catches.
Who, Forte?
Yeah.
I think he could get around 30 catches because
that,
I think
if you're
Powell
taking him in the fifth round, you're expecting 60 plus catches.
Oh, if he gets 60 plus catches, 50. He ought to go in the third or fourth.
And Bilal Powell is trash.
Just based on where Forte is going, if you're still taking him in the fifth round, 50 more or more catches. I don't think anybody's expecting him to score a bunch of touchdowns with the Jets and be 1,500 rushing yards.
No, but I don't know. I mean, the fifth round, it's in the Ryan Matthews range.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, right.
Who do you prefer?
I'd take Matthews.
In PPR, I've got Forte one spot ahead of Matthews.
Okay. How about Jonathan Stewart or Forte in split the difference, half point PPR?
Forte.
Yeah.
Stewart.
Stewart? All right.
I'm afraid Stewart's getting phased out this year.
They're both gross.
But they don't have anybody to phase him out for.
The Cameron Artis Payne could make a step forward.
He could.
It's possible.
Sure.
They have lots of running backs.
It's possible Ron Rivera unretires to play running back.
It's possible also.
Now, Kevin White was impressive during a joint practice session with the Patriots. Cameron Brate, according to ESPN Bucks reporter Jenna Lane, is becoming one of Jameis Winston's favorite targets.
Tight end.
Yeah. Do either of these guys, do these reports excite you about either wide receiver Kevin White or tight end Cameron Brate?
I mean, I don't think anybody's drafting Cameron Brate, but he certainly should be somebody you put on your waiver wire list.
When it's the last round and I whiffed on Gronk and Olsen and Reed and Delanie Walker and I didn't get any of those name brand tight ends and I just need somebody to start my season with, is Cameron Brate somebody you could go to?
Well, I mean, I think based on your question, yes, he's somebody you can go to. Right. He's somebody you want to go to, though.
Of course you don't want to go to him, but week one at Atlanta with potentially a rookie safety covering him.
Is Vance McDonald gone?
That's I think Vance McDonald would rather be the
right
pick there.
There's a lot of tight ends you could take ahead of Brate, but I wouldn't discount him, you know, scoring five or six touchdowns over the course of the season.
I just have a hard time seeing him have a Brate year.
Make America Brate again.
Was it one he of does our, have a good matchup.
It
in
is a
one.
Good team name.
It is a very good team name. Absolutely. Let's see. Steve Smith. So Steve Smith coming off the PUP list. I guess you guys aren't that excited. And Brandon LaFell expected to be ready for week one by Marvin Lewis, his head coach. Can I be the Tyler Boyd guy? I've been drafting him consistently. I like it. I like Tyler Boyd. I don't really understand why he doesn't get put in the same group as other rookie wide receivers other than Sterling Shepard that you guys like.
I think the only one that is probably, at least the way I have it ranked, is Treadwell. It's like, I can see Boyd being better than Treadwell, just given the roles on their respective teams and their quarterbacks.
Absolutely. But that's how I feel about him and Michael Thomas. I could see Boyd being better than Michael Thomas.
We might have to have a Michael Thomas fight today.
I think volume should favor Thomas.
Dave told me this morning that he doesn't like Michael Thomas.
I just don't like the idea of drafting him. What's your expectation for him?
Well, here's the thing. You think Drew Brees is going to throw for 4,500 yards?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Brandon Cooks, Willie Snead, Kobe Fleener combined for 3,000 yards? I mean, 1,200, 1,000, 800.
I think they could go for a little more than 3,000.
Still, even if they go for 3,200, that's 1,300
yards
left.
What's the number
left
that you're putting on Michael Thomas?
I think there is obviously a wide range of possible outcomes. He's not a safe guy. You're drafting
That's
him
right.
as a number four. But I think he has the possibility to go for 800-900 yards. I think he has the possibility to score 8 or 9 touchdowns.
Oh, boy. I just don't see it that way.
Right. It just depends on if
at the other end of
if
that.
Drew Brees is going to have a 4,500, 5,000-yard season, one of these bounce-back seasons, and throw a bunch of touchdown passes, Michael Thomas could have a huge year. He's got a lot of potential. Now, he's not safe, but none of these guys are safe in this range.
But it's also a late-round pick.
Right? Well, I mean,
this is a double-digit round pick, right? We're not taking him in round 9.
I've taken him in round 10.
Well, here, it's very simple. Give Cooks almost the same numbers he had last year, which is going to put him a little bit below where we have him ranked, but it's still safe.
Right.
Give Fleener Watson's numbers from last year.
725 and 7?
Something like that. Then you give Snead his numbers from last year.
950 and
but
three.
He's going to get more touchdowns.
Oh, I think all three of those guys do better than what the respective players that they're replacing last year, including themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's still got to be a fourth guy.
Right. Well, what did Marcus Colson have last year?
Well,
but I would think Thomas should be better than Colson.
I don't know if he'll be better than Colson was last year.
Yeah.
But not as good as how Colson was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
No. But if that was the case, then he would be, you know, a top 30 receiver.
Right.
I just want to say, as far as the numbers go, I don't think Brees is getting 4,500 yards. I think he's getting a lot more than that.
He's 5,000. It's definitely possible.
Yeah. I mean, he's always over 48. Last year was over 4,800, and that was sort of a down year for him. So.
I'll just reference it to Tyler Boyd. I would rather take the chance on the fourth receiver when you factor in tight end, running back, all those things. If you want to just say third receiver, however you want to break down Thomas's situation versus Boyd's situation, just because of who the quarterback is and who is what his situation.
But I think
Thomas's talent over Boyd's talent.
But we don't know that. I mean, I'm interested to see that. But I think Boyd to me is number two on Cincinnati.
Potentially, but because we don't know that yet.
Well, you're taking into account Eifert probably missing some time.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Tyler Boyd, I think is certainly in the conversation. I just look at again and not to be a rookie, but another receiver, Philip Dorsett. Just in a better role in explosive offense.
Yeah.
All that being said, I will take Michael Thomas ahead of Tyler Boyd, by the way. Neither of these guys are, you said round 10? I'd go later.
Yeah, okay. Let's take it a step further. So you love Kenneth Dixon, and obviously his talent is could be impressive. He's part of a four-headed backfield that
sure
may or may not ever see the field this year.
Might not. Might be inactive week one, too. I don't know. Or he could end up starting. It could be it's you want to talk about the range of outcomes, Heath. Kenneth Dixon's got a ridiculous range of outcomes.
Sure, sure. But I think
that's an example of me taking a shot on a running back that's got potential versus a receiver who's got a bunch of roadblocks to get to the numbers where you'd want him to be a starter for your fantasy team.
Hey, I just want to finish up by saying that I probably would take Michael Thomas over Tyler Boyd, but the way I've seen the drafts go is that I can wait like two rounds at least. And I could take both. And I like Boyd's value really, really late. We're going to bring on Chris Harris to talk some IDP right now. But before that, Tyler Boyd, Philip Dorsett, Michael Thomas, FanDuel values. Heath, you probably looked at week one of FanDuel. Any good values out there? Have you looked at week one or am I putting you on the spot?
I have looked at week one, but I have not memorized the pricing and I don't have it pulled up right now.
Okay, well, week one values, you will get plenty of that from Heath Cummings and from all of us here on Fantasy Football Today. We want you to try FanDuel. We've got an opportunity for you to get 5 free weeks if you go to FanDuel.com/CBS. New users, if you deposit today on FanDuel.com/CBS, you'll get 5 free entries to NFL beginner contests, 1 free entry a week, 5 weeks in a row, and if you finish anywhere in the top half of those contests, you get some cash. So again, FanDuel.com/CBS for 5 free entries, void where prohibited. Why FanDuel? Of all those daily fantasy sites, FanDuel is the easiest to use. The app is great. It's a ton of fun. Contests start at just $1. We've had so many listeners email us, tweet us, tell us, hey, we just won hundreds of dollars, a few thousand dollars on FanDuel. So that could be you. Go to FanDuel.com/CBS and sign up right now. You guys ready to talk some IDP?
Yeah, you know me.
All right. Let's bring on Chris Harris right now here on Fantasy Football Today. All right, he is Chris Harris of HarrisFootball.com. He is in the podcast world. He is killing it. Chris, welcome. IDP draft, you did it with us earlier this week, 12 teams, PPR, a whole bunch of defensive players. What'd you think?
Well, it was fun. I really was appreciative to be sappy to start with. It's a league that I like a lot just from afar, and so being asked to be in it, you know, all those years of the ESPN, you're not allowed to be in leagues like this. And so now that I'm on my own, I've been for like 1 year. It's awesome. I get asked and I can say yes. And, I had great fun. I mean, I had some nerves, but it was fun.
Guys, you're going to be surprised to hear this. I really did not like IDP very much. It wasn't really for me, especially in PPR, because I feel like the points scored for the IDP, for the individual defensive players don't really matter that much.
Adam, you haven't even played IDP yet.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy the draft that much.
Draft an IDP team.
Chris, let me give you a background on Adam about this league. He says, you know what? I really like to do an IDP league this year. I talk about it a lot. We answer questions about it. I really don't understand it very much. Okay, Adam, do you want to be in our IDP league? Yeah, that'd be great. The day of the draft. Do I really have to do this?
But you know what? Some people just aren't into IDP. It might just be too much work. That just seems unnecessary.
Well, this is IDP on steroids. I mean, you know, going with a full roster of IDP guys. Most people
just
do.
When is IDP not on steroids?
No, but most people just do one or two defensive players.
That's a waste. To me, that's a total waste.
But it gives you a sample of it.
Chris, what do you like? What do you prefer?
This is the way to go. What we did is the way to go. I think, Adam, your complaint is dead on when everybody owns, you know, 4 or 5 defensive players. It's star ball. And it doesn't really matter. You don't need to take great players because you can just mix and match. Here we have enough defensive players taken where it's going to be hard to find really good solutions on the waiver wire. Maybe a few, but I'm not going to be able to stream a defensive back who's going to be as good as the best defensive backs that we drafted. So I'm with Dave. The way you want to play IDP is more scarcity. Scarcity is the name of the game. You inject scarcity into any league, it's more fun.
I'm mad at you, Chris, by the way. You took one of my favorite players, Eric Berry.
Yeah, well, can we possibly arrange for him not to be holding out? Because that would be a good
thing. Sure, that's the reason why you got him where you got him. But
that's right.
What's going to happen is Jamie's going to make you a trade offer, and you're going to like it. And the very next day, Eric Berry's going to report to the Chiefs, and
I may get some inside tips on that.
Yeah.
All right, so our IDP league, looking at the scoring here, we had, 3 points for a sack, right?
Yes.
1 point for a tackle, 2 for a safety, half point for an assisted tackle. 6 points for a touchdown, 3 points for a forced fumble. So, guys, and Chris, I'll kick it to you first. who are some of the best individual defensive players other than J.J. Watt? Give us a little IDP tutorial for some people who might be interested in trying it or just want some tips.
Well, you know, I almost would say J.J. Watt and Levante David are the two almost for me that are side by side as the best. And Watt actually went a full round more earlier than David. I think by that measure, David's a better value there. For IDP, the first thing you're looking at are linebacker tackles. You want those middle linebackers who are just always involved. And so my first pick on defense was like round 8, something like that. I took Navarro Bowman. He might have been the third defensive player off the board, maybe the fourth. And I felt like, you know, you have to get one of those guys in a league like this where it's deep. You got to make sure you get a tackles guy. You know, you're not drafting corners very often because they just don't get a lot of work. You know, how many picks is a corner going to get in a given year? That's just not going to help you that much. And they don't make many tackles. And then, you know, defensive linemen, some combination of tackles and sacks is what you want.
Guys, anything you want to add to that? Agree, disagree?
Well, the first thing is make sure you know your IDP scoring, just like you would want to know whether or not catches count in an offensive fantasy football league without IDPs. You want to know if tackles count, because if tackles don't count, it really changes the game. I think you need the tackles to count in order for the positions to matter more, because when you've got a defender on your team that's going to rack up 10 tackles in a game with a pass defense or an interception or whatever, well, now you're talking about scoring that's akin to what you'd like to see out of a running back. Double digits in fantasy points for sure. Definitely like a tight end. So those are actually valuable players. Thing is that it's hard to find consistency among them. Chris said it. You want to look for guys that get a lot of tackles. There aren't a lot of those guys. And just because a player gets hurt, the guy behind him comes in, doesn't mean that guy's going to go and pick up all those tackles either.
Well, so there are guys that
get, it's tricky.
There are guys that get tackles. I mean, you see a lot of 100 tackle guys. You don't see a lot of 100 tackle guys that are still able to get a couple sacks, force turnovers. That's why Levante
David.
How many
100 tackle guys do you think there are?
Oh, there's what, 10, 15?
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking like plentiful.
But it's those elite level guys that do more than just, it's just more than just the standard middle linebacker.
Right.
You know, it's the Keekleys that get the interceptions.
That's
it's
like
the Davis
tier
that,
one.
Absolutely.
And then tier two are just the linebackers. They just straight up get tackles.
I tend to lean toward, especially in this format where we do give 3 points for sacks in defensive linemen early in this league, which is why I took Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, who I think are number two and number three behind J.J. Watt in terms of defensive linemen. So, I focus more on that. That was kind of the route I took.
Well, I think those types of hybrid players like Khalil Mack can be really important too, because if you can get a guy that's going to play linebacker half the time, but he
more tackles.
Yes, but he's listed as a defensive lineman, you're going to be quite a ways ahead of the field.
And there's a lot of that on, no matter where you play, you will find defensive players who are, you know, they're labeled one way, but they play another way, and you can kind of take advantage of that. I did that last year with Mark Barron, who played linebacker for the Rams, but he was listed as a defensive back.
Yeah, it's kind of the reason why I took
Deion
Buchanan as well. Yeah, you took him.
By.
Yeah.
Ah, that's right. By the way, I did a research project. 37 players had 100-plus tackles last year.
What?
Oh, wow.
37?
Oh, that's players, not just linebackers. How many of them were linebackers? Probably a lot, though.
Yeah, most of them. I'll do that just now, too. While you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Chris, well, I want to know, J.J. Watt, right? He goes in the...
Sixth round.
First pick of the sixth round, and then Levante David was the third pick of the seventh round. Because I was a newcomer, I was basically just determined to fill up all my offensive spots and try to have the best offense, and I knew I was at a disadvantage in terms of my IDP knowledge. But Chris, how about you? First of all, J.J. Watt, first pick of the sixth round in a 12-team league. Is that a good value? And what's your, you know, when do you start taking the elite guys, the Watts and the Davids of the world?
You know, Watt was just I can't complain. The thing is, in a snake draft, you know, your pick comes and then it might not come again for another 20 picks. So if you want Watt, you got to take him there. I didn't view it as a huge reach. In a league though, where we were talking before, this is a deep IDP league. We're drafting 28 players. You know, scarcity is much more of an issue. If people listening are in leagues where they're, you know, drafting, they're starting four defensive players. That's way too early for Watt. You know, you need to be, I'd be thinking, maybe not even, I wouldn't take a defensive player in the first half of a draft in that case, because they're just, you are going to find solutions. And an update. We have an update. 29 linebackers.
Ooh.
100 tackles.
Well, it's like double what we were saying.
So does that change anything, guys? Does that make it a little bit deeper than you thought?
Well, no. I mean, like I said, I guess I went low. I know there's a lot of guys that get close to 100, over 100 tackles. It's just a matter of, again, what they do on top of it that makes them special. But you can get tackles almost anywhere. And you're going to find guys off waivers that are going to get tackles.
Okay, by the way, now you mentioned, Chris, I think you said 28 players. That's not 28 defensive players, obviously. That's our entire roster. We start two D linemen, three linebackers, three defensive backs, and one defensive flex. Anything else you want? Who are some guys you like this year? IDP sleepers, Chris. We'll start with you and throw it around the room.
IDP sleepers. Well, you know, you're going to get, you know, if you're in a league that's going deep enough to draft Eric Berry, you're going to get him at a really, really nice price right now, because there, we just have a question. Like, is he really going to hold out? I took a defensive back from Indianapolis, Clayton Gathers. You know, I think there's a chance.
He's
a little bit of a sleeper. I was happy. And then I don't know how good of a player yet Eric Armstead is for the 49ers, but boy, it seems like there's a big role there for him. So I drafted him like 23rd round or something, just as a, you know, like, he wasn't going to be my primary defensive lineman. You know, I took Ziggy Ansah to be that. But Armstead, for me, doesn't feel like there's a lot of depth around him. Seems like he's an every down player for the first time this year.
Did we talk about the position scarcity at defensive line and how we really want to get good defensive linemen? You might want to favor that position.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it. That's why I prioritize taking those two guys.
Like, in our league, because it's so deep, I think that's one of the reasons why J.J. Watt is the first IDP player taken. And I agree with where he was taken. But I think it's important to really, if you're going to research at all before your IDP draft, go through the defensive lineman eligible players in your draft room and find the ones that you like the best, because that's the position that is hardest to replace.
Who do you like?
I got Dante Fowler from Jacksonville. And I know he's coming off the ACL, but I think he's a candidate to play a little linebacker on top of rushing the passer. I think he's got a decent shot. Fletcher Cox has been productive for a while at defensive line. I actually drafted four defensive linemen in this league. One of them was Vic Beasley because of what I said. I think he's going to end up playing more linebacker than defensive line this year. And I also got Mario Williams. And it's just
that's a good pick.
I think he's got a chance of playing next to Ndamukong Suh to really rack up a lot of sacks. Not a lot of tackles.
Yep.
But the day I went to Dolphins camp, I saw Wake, Suh, and Williams stand right next to each other, three in a line.
Big dudes.
Oh, and without pads.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That line could be very good.
I just to piggyback off that, I did the same thing. I took a shot on Wake. I know he's coming off the torn Achilles, but if he's able to play and get back to being close to the player that he was before the injury, especially he just started to come on last year, I think he could be a rotation guy for me and certainly a flex option.
Yeah. Heath, how do you feel about the Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, you know, I was all ready to talk about the sleeper that I took.
Oh, and then
Coney Ealy, towards the very end of the draft. He's going to get a chance to play pretty much as he can with the Carolina Panthers this year, with Jared Allen being gone. And he was really good in the second half last year, especially in the playoffs.
I remember when they drafted him because I liked him coming out of school. And I was stunned that the Panthers took him because they had so many other needs.
Right.
And then, like, he showed up in the Super Bowl. He was making plays that late into the year. So that's a good pick. I like that one.
Chris, I'd like to transition away from IDP. The results of this draft are up on CBSSports.com. You can check them out. Let's just talk, you know, ODP. Mm. Which offensive players do you like? Give me some of Chris Harris's favorites in 2016.
I think it would be IOP, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right.
So I'm actually right now on my podcast doing my flag players for the year, which is basically the ones who I like in terms of talent, but also think value-wise you're getting value by being able to take them a little bit later than I would take them. And I'll just give you five. The five that I gave today, they're not my tippity top five, but they're players who I'm going to own in a lot of leagues. You know, I took him in the CBS league too, Devin Funchess. You know, I think he's certainly a lot of questions about him, but you know, I think he's real cheap, and Calvin Benjamin, there are questions about him too. TJ Yeldon, I kind of view those Jags running backs similarly, and Yeldon's a lot cheaper than Ivory is. I'm going to take Martellus Bennett in a lot of leagues as a tight end and then drop him if it doesn't work out. But I think there's upside there. Tony Romo is the quarterback. If I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, I'm getting. He's my number nine quarterback. And then Larry Fitzgerald, I know I've talked about him with everybody. You know, I think probably both Jamie and Dave were on my show and we talked about him. Larry Fitzgerald for me is the Cardinals receiver to own. I don't know what's changed from last year. People come up with a lot of sort of like deep data dives to tell me how when people were playing and not playing, that meant Larry wasn't good. You know, sorry. Ask the Packers in the playoff game. Like, he's still pretty good.
Wow. That That, you know, that is a great argument. The Packers playoff game is a great argument. That is a hot topic on this show. I think you just made it. You've just made a new best friend with Heath Cummings, though. That's for sure.
Just don't give up on Larry Fitzgerald.
Don't reach for Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, you don't have to. He goes at the end of the fifth or the start of the sixth round. It's huge value.
Me too. I feel the same way. I'm, you know, I just don't know why things change. That's the point. I think people are looking for a reason that they change, and I think 100 catches is still in play. He was the number 10 receiver in standard fantasy leagues last year and higher in PPR.
How do you feel about the Steelers passing game right now? I'll just throw some random questions at you. How do you feel about the Steelers passing game?
I hear this Antonio Brown kid has a future.
I like him. Like, I think he's a good value at number one overall, Chris.
You know, so Roethlisberger is what he is. He's a fantasy starter, somebody who I won't reach for, but I'll take if he falls to me in a good spot. You're going to, you know, every time he plays the Bengals, you're going to get some game where you're just like, what are you doing? You know, babying passes. Now I watch a lot of film and it feels like in certain situations, he's just a different guy. And then I elevated Sammy Coates quite a bit from where I had him earlier in the year. I think I'm more in line with the market right now. I wouldn't say I'm super high on him, but I was maybe lower before. Marcus Wheaton, it just feels like how many times am I going to be fooled? You know, great, that one Seattle game last year, that was a great game. Wow, good job, Marcus.
Right. No consistency from him, so that's also an issue. And listen, all it's going to take is one big play from Sammy Coates. He could do it, you know, Thursday night against Philadelphia, and all of a sudden everybody's rushing to draft him and Big Ben. But I feel like Coates is the key here. If he doesn't develop, then Roethlisberger won't be successful for fantasy.
Right, maybe a little overdrafted, you think, Dave?
He's starting to fall now.
Yeah. Okay.
The Ladarius news actually really made it sink in.
Heath, why don't you ask Chris a random question? I don't want to be the only one here.
Okay, just ask a random question.
Yeah, yeah, ask something that's on your mind.
No, we talked about the Arizona wide receivers. There's two wide receivers, I feel like, in the 6th, 7th, 8th round range that have just been skyrocketing up average draft position. It's John Brown and Tyler Lockett. Are those both going to be overdrafted?
You know, Lockett really feels like he's trending that way, and it makes me sad. You know, I would love to own him a lot because his future, you know, I think his future is really bright. The good stuff on tape last year was so good. You know, just can't stay with him. You know, it feels like almost like his skills are Antonio Brown quickness, but a lot more long speed. Wow. I mean, that could be really good, but you're right. This year, having seen him be a number one where he's going to start to get schemed against and stuff, there's downside there that I don't think is baked into his price. I feel like John Brown's downside is this concussion stuff that's going on, and you know, he's not going to play. Maybe that price starts coming down. You're right. It's too high given that there's three guys there and that he's maybe I like him as a player a lot, but he's maybe a little more of a specialty player in that offense because, you know, they just have two big guys who do all sorts of things.
All right. We don't have to talk about football. Important topic here. How awesome are podcasts? I mean, like, is this not the best medium? It's so cool to reach out to connect with your fans. Cause I talked to you on Saturday at the Flex Draft in New York City, and you and I were just talking about how amazing podcasting is. I know it's kind of cheesy to talk about it, but come on. How fun is this?
So fun. So amazing. I mean, honestly, so I leave ESPN and I love ESPN. You know, they offered me to come back and I was just sort of burned out, been there 8 years and didn't think I was going to have a business where I did podcasts. My God, you know, I was going to do something else. I have other interests. I was going to figure something out. And it happened to be right around when last season was starting. So I was like, you know what? I always kind of wished I'd had a daily podcast at ESPN. I'll give it a shot. And you're right. It's just like immediately connection. I don't have to tell you guys because, you know, you're all so connected to your fans. And when I had Jamie and Dave on my show, right, you know, Dave's been on a bunch of times, you know, instantly I start to hear, wow, you know, ask Dave about food, ask, you know, like just like the connection is just so much more immediate and it feels like you're so much more integrated into a bunch of people who really dig what you do. It's just so great.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on and thank you for having Dave and Jamie on your podcast previously. And we hope to hear from you again. And
you're not going to ask him the question?
What question?
The question that we ask everybody.
Oh, okay. Chris Harris. Very important question. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I'll say yes.
Yeah!
And I'll say goodbye, Chris Harris. Thank you very much. No, it's not, Chris. Why would you say yes? What is up with that? You've lost a lot of credibility here.
Chris, you're the most knowledgeable guest we've had in a long time.
It's the spirit.
Would you like to host our show, Chris?
It's the spirit of Christmas. It's the spirit of killing Hans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the best answer we've gotten so far. It's the only one that makes even a little bit of sense. So fine, I'll accept it. Tell us about, how to follow you on Twitter, your podcast, and anything else you want to talk about, Chris.
Yeah, it's at Harris Football, www.harrisfootball.com, iTunes, Harris Football. It's all over. It is 5 days a week. And, you know, the reason I have a guest on every single show. So it's me usually for the first half of the show and then a different guest from somewhere the second half. And that's why I get to have such great guests. And my sense is, like, I want to have as many people on as possible and come do as many other podcasts as possible, because I know fantasy fans listen to multiple podcasts. Mm-hmm. This is not a zero-sum game at all.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Awesome, you know? So I am, you know, thrilled to you guys agreed to have me on. Boy, it's a thrill for me. I love you guys and love the show, and a thrill when I get to have your folks on my show, too.
Thank you again, Chris. Really appreciate
Thank you, Chris.
It.
Thanks, guys.
Chris.
And Heath, Dave, and Jamie, this is it for us as well. So this was a fun podcast. Thank you, everybody. Podcast League, keep sending in your submissions at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We will talk to you on Friday with a little average draft position review and looking at Thursday night's action. See you later.
Oh.